This morning we had a little message on Paul, the life of Paul, setting a stage for possibly future messages on the nuggets that Paul has given to us. And one of the things that we said was that Paul wrote most of the New Testament, that we actually quote more of Paul's writings than almost what Christ said. But yet what Paul has given has come from Christ, so it's still of Christ. But we spoke of all of his sufferings and his life and his death. And tonight we have something to go along with that, and we hope to end up with another little nugget of some of Paul's writings. We're going to start out speaking to you, first of all, of life and death, and living and dying. And in Genesis 2 and 7, actually, it's a familiar scripture that it says that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth or ground, and then breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And what happened to man? He became a living soul. And so the man had a body, and the body was alive, and his heart was beating, the blood was pumping. God designed it all. The scripture says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. And sometimes when we might read some things about the physical body and the nerves and all of the workings of the body. Do you ever think of that scripture? How God fearfully and wonderfully made man. And when we think of even the way that the body is put together, the spine, having a spinal cord that with just a break of that cord, it will alter that function of that body for the rest of that person's life. So there's many things about our body that God has created that is wonderful. But in the wonder of it all, he created this body to be living. Now, I suppose that we could alternate or alter God's plan. I know we can by taking our own life, but I do believe that God has a time. There is a time for us to be born, and there is a time for us to die. And so he has made this body for me, that it should last until my time, and the same for you. It takes in nourishment. It feeds every organ of the body, every cell of the body. The nourishment causes me to have strength that I may be able to move. I may have power to move and to function as a living human being. I want you to keep that in your mind, that we are alive and moving, and why we are, because the breath of life is still in us. But I want to talk just a little bit about death. What is death? You might say, why are you saying that? We all know what death is. Death is when the heart stops, the blood stops, there's no more breath in the lungs, every function of the body stops. and the strength ceases, and the power is gone. It's just death is the opposite of life. And so man became a living soul, and man is made of the flesh or the body, and it is also a soul and a spirit. Now, we'll change just a little bit and speak about the spirits that are trying to influence our spirit. Somebody, Carissa, you want to come and draw something on the board for me? It's very simple, honey. Come and just go on the board. See how it is? You think you can do that?
This?
Yeah. Okay, you take it up there.
Do you need some water? I've got the water.
No, I don't need anything.
You mean the heart and free?
Yeah, just...
the whole sentence?
And yeah, just that little part right there. Just put that on the board. I think it will help us to understand a little bit. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Satan are in the world to give or to try to influence my spirit and your spirit. The heart that is up there represents our spirit. The God of this world is trying to influence the spirit of man. The spirit of man is a free will. God has created man to make choices. He does not force anyone to live for him. So God has a spirit, and Satan has a spirit that is wanting to influence or create in that free will a choice whether right or wrong. Thank you. So, I'm going to give you what you already know, that the God's Spirit is a spirit of life. It is a spirit of light. It is a spirit of truth and righteousness. But Satan's spirit is just the exact opposite. It is a spirit of death. It is a spirit of darkness. It is a spirit of unrighteousness. It is a spirit of wickedness. It is a spirit of uncleanness. And we can see in the scriptures, and Paul's writings brings all of this out, of all of these things that you and I are to shun and not partake of and not allow it to affect our spirit. And of course, we know the scripture. We've said it here many, many times. God said it. I set before you this day life and death. And then he says, what I want you to choose is life. And life is what he wants for all of us, all of mankind. He has the perfect plan that you and I can have life and have eternal life. Thank the Lord. So I've said all of that now to bring us down to Paul's nugget. And it is a scripture, and it says, I want to ask these two questions first. How did Paul endure all things? How did he endure to the end? What are your thoughts? All of the things that he went through, all of the sufferings. And the Lord said that he was going to tell or teach Paul of the great things that he would have to suffer, and he had to suffer those things. So how did he do it?
Charity.
Love. He did it with love. What else?
God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
He had to love him.
Love everyone else as yourself.
Yes, he had to. Yes. He had to do that. That is one of the ways. How else?
Didn't he say he say I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me?
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's one of the nuggets that he gave us. How else?
Faith.
Faith. He had faith. He believed that Christ was the Son of God. He was converted. He was totally converted. Sometimes when we pray for individuals that need to be saved, what do we say? Lord, we want you to save them to the uttermost. Paul was saved to the uttermost in a moment. And God spoke to him and he responded to it. That was the Spirit of the Lord appealing to his spirit, and he responded to it. Okay, anybody else have a thought?
By the grace of God, I am what I am.
By the grace of God, I am what I am. It took grace, didn't it? It took the power of Jesus Christ to help him see the end of his life with victory. It will take the grace of God for you and me to see the end of our life with victory.
It just seems though that he was maybe a little bit stronger than some of us.
Might have. But he was a chosen vessel. He was chosen for it. Maybe God saw his very nature would respond to it, to the influence of the Spirit. Don't you think that we will respond to the influence of the Spirit if we are called to be a martyr? You don't have the grace for it before you get there. But if it did happen, whatever God allows in our life, don't you believe that he gives us grace at that moment? That we need it. I've experienced it. Amen. Where he would give the grace right when I needed it most. We have a song, something about just when I needed him most or something to that effect. Well, that's what his grace will do. But yes, Paul did prove to be very strong. Now, Lauren questioned it that I said that he was in the desert for 13 years, but that's the information that I read in a Bible dictionary. That after he was converted, he went to the desert for 13 years. And the reason for it was he had to be retaught. He was so full of the teachings of the law and the teachings of the Pharisees. And then on top of that, he took on this fanatical spirit, if you will, to oppose those that were Christians. So he had a lot of teaching, and it took that long, evidently. That's what it even said in the dictionary, Bible dictionary. So here is the scripture that I'm going, it's just a little portion of a verse, and it says, I die daily. That's how he made it. He had to die every day to self. Now, we've talked about the body living, the soul living, but the body can die, but the soul can die too. And if you have any scriptures tonight that speaks about the soul dying, or living, that's what we want to talk about. Now, I have a scripture in Galatians.
I thought of one more.
Okay.
Forgetting those things which are behind.
Yes. He had to do some forgetting, didn't he? Otherwise, he would have been cast down if he would have remembered all of those things that he did. He tortured people. He wasn't really... People were afraid of him. Even Ananias was afraid of him. Afraid to even go and pray for him. So he had to forget some things. Do you and I have to forget some things? But what should we remember? We have to forget some things, but what do we remember?
I am what I am
by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God, but what were you? Where were you?
I was
We do need to remember the pit from which we have been digged. We need to remember that the enemy's goal is to put me back in that pit. And in this day and time, he has many tactics. He has many little tools that are all around us. The very air is peopled with these spirits, if you will, to try to affect your spirit that you be back in that pit. Remember the little drawing. The God of this world is trying to influence you. God has given you a free will. You can choose death if you want it, or you can choose life. Thank the Lord. Galatians 2, 20 and 21. If someone wants to read that for us. Galatians 2, 20 and 21. Just a minute.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Yes.
And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God.
Stop right there. I do not frustrate the grace of God. What does that mean? I do not frustrate the grace of God. What does the word frustrate mean?
I'm just reading, I do not reject the love of God. Or...
I do not reject the love of God.
One commentary says the word rendered frustrate means properly to displace, abrogate, abolish, then to make void or render null.
I have a couple of words I have written here in my Bible, and it's, I do not defeat the grace of God. I do not block the grace of God. What does the grace of God, what does it represent? What does the song say? About the grace of God. The grace is free as the air we breathe. So God has a grace for you and me. He's trying to influence us. He's trying to influence our spirit to always choose life. And then the scripture, the 20th verse, I am crucified with Christ. Now we know what it means to be crucified. But what happens when we are crucified? We're still living. This body is not dead. But what happens if this is part of our testimony? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Now explain this verse. We've talked about the body living and the body dying. And the spirit can, the soul can also be dead. But what kind of crucifixion is this? Has any of you ever been crucified? Yes.
And yielding to what the Lord is checking us on.
Okay, Paul said, I die daily. So what did he do daily? What was he doing when he said, I die daily?
Crucifying self.
Crucifying the flesh. The flesh will kill us.
Even Jesus did it in the garden.
He did it in the garden. What did he do? He said, Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Do we need to do that too? Oh, I want to tell you, there's many, many influences that's trying to hinder the soul from the spirit of Satan. And we said this morning something to the effect that Satan can't, he can't make us want to go out and commit gross sin, but he'll begin to work on our thoughts. He'll begin to work on our feelings, our attitudes. He'll begin to plant bitterness. But we have to be crucified every day. We have to die. We have to resist those things. We have to see that they will promote death to my soul. And so Paul, the way he made it, all of the things that you said is true. That's how he made it. But he also had to die every day. Do you think that he had even other feelings that he had to die to? What about the times that he was scourged? All but, well, 39 times. 5 times he was beaten. Minus one. 39 times. Do you think that you would ever, if that happened to you, would you be feeling some hatred and bitterness towards the person that ordered it or that was doing it? All of the things that happened to Paul, he could have had some very ill feelings, but he died to them. Lord, help us all. I die daily, and I crucify, I am crucified. There's another scripture I want us to read, Galatians 5 and 24. Someone read that one. 5 and 24. Let's read 25 also.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Okay, we're talking about influence. And they that are Christ have crucified what?
The flesh.
With what?
The affections and lusts.
Okay, what can those be? Affections and lust that would cause my soul to die, to have a spiritual death.
It could be as simple as, naturally the body wants to avoid pain. It could be as simple as trying to avoid pain.
Avoid pain?
Be more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not, life isn't comfortable, and the comfortable option is not always the right option.
Yes, that is a good one. What else could do it, though? That is a simple one, and yet maybe that's a big one, too. There could be some that might be a great mountain to them and a trial to be able to trust the Lord, to be able to put your life in His hands and be subject to the will of the Father for your life. Was Jesus dreading pain? I think he was. I believe he knew what was before him, and I believe he was dreading the suffering. So that is part of our humanity. What other affections and lusts could possibly need to be crucified? I have written down here the old nature. How were you once? We don't have to tell. Sometimes we all maybe testify about how we once lived. But you know, we will have to hate that life.
Amen.
We will have to never want to go back to it again. I was talking with someone, I believe it was just yesterday, and we were speaking about that once we have repented, that we really don't have to repent again. That God accepts it, He covers it with His blood, this is His the power of his blood, and the scripture says he casts that thing from the east to, as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers it no more. And yet you and I remember. We recall where we once were. And I was saying to this individual that, yes, I don't think that we have to repent if it comes to our mind again, but I've had an experience that Lauren and I had been to a movie years and years ago, and there is a theme song that was with that movie. And occasionally in Walmart, it's played in the background. And I could recall that movie if I wanted to. It's in my mind. Yes, I repented of that. But I have the way that I handle my victory in it, that I don't go there, is to say to the Lord, Lord, I still am sorry. For us to still be sorry for a sin that we have committed, it's not that you're repenting again, it's just that you're saying, I will not do that again. I am resisting that. The devil cannot take advantage of us if we keep that attitude in our heart. And God can only be pleased for us to be glad that he has saved us and forgiven us and covered that thing with his blood. There's a lot of things that we can look back and maybe remember, but let us be glad that he has saved us from it. And let us be thankful and tell him again, Lord, I am so glad you saved me from that. So we have to crucify these things. And what does crucify mean? It means to be dead, to let it die. Just as the body has to be fed to be kept alive, we cannot feed these spirits and expect them to die. If we feed these spirits, they will be kept alive. They'll be controlling. They'll be stronger. Just like food and nourishment will strengthen your body that you can function in life. If you feed any of these affections and lusts, it will be kept alive and well and strong. But we crucify them. We nail them to the cross. Allow the Lord to cause them to die. Anybody else have any thoughts? I die daily. Sometimes we may have troubling thoughts, situations, just like the song that that they sang this morning and tonight. And we've all experienced places where we have been hurt or wounded. And there again, if we feed it, it will be kept alive. Or we can crucify it and give it to the Lord. Cast all of your cares upon him. Jesus knows all about it.
The word says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust.
Yes.
Made me think of our Psalm number 64, buried with Christ.
Oh, yes.
Dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me, but there is no voice that answers within.
Yes.
Dead to the world, to voices that call me. Living anew, obedient but free.
Yes.
Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet it's not I. Christ liveth in me.
Yes.
It's almost like Paul talking to us right there.
Yes, it is. That's good. We're going to need to sing that song at the end. I love that song. Anyone else have a thought before we go to some more scripture?
also, if anyone that was crucified was also ostracized by society.
Mm-hmm.
They were repugnant. They weren't something you wanted to associate with. It was very onerous and reserved for either non-citizens or traitors to that, to the drug, basically. So anyone who was, that's why the disciples scattered. Because even being associated with someone that was being crucified was so repugnant, so unthinkable or deplorable that, so when you crucify something, you're not just killing it, you're distancing yourself from it, and you're saying, I'm having no part of anything to do with it anymore. Not simply death. It's
yes.
Repulsion.
Because it could resurrect. What you have crucified could resurrect if you wanted it to. This is something that's not like a person dying and not being able to come back to life immediately. Your words there makes me think of a crucifixion in my life. And I'm sure that each one of you have had to crucify the flesh and the affections and the lusts. But when the Lord was calling me to the ministry and I was struggling with it. And I was at Monarch, it was on healing day, and it wasn't a healing day message, but it was for me. And the Lord spoke to me in that message and said, and I wasn't even in the ministry yet, but he said, you want to be liked. And you will compromise the truth to be liked. And I wasn't even preaching. But as soon as he said it, I knew it was true. And it was something maybe I felt from my childhood. Maybe I was born that way, that I wanted people to like me. And I would try to do things to make them like me. I went down to the altar at that far east end, and Sister Hargrave and Sister Sammons prayed with me. And I could not tell them what the Lord had said or why he said it. I was weeping and weeping, and all I could say is, I want to be liked. That's all I could say. But I had to die in that place. And you know, like he said, I had to distance myself from that. I had to stay away from that. Any time that the enemy would try to bring that character back and be a temptation, I had to recognize it immediately. I could not give in to that. It would have affected even my integrity. So God knows us. And there are characteristics in our life that has to die sometimes daily. Like Paul, I die daily. And distance yourself from it. That's a very good thought. We cannot stay close to that thing and it not come back and bite us. When God delivers you from something, you run for your life. And you don't touch it. And he says in one place to not touch the unclean thing. Don't even touch it. Anybody else a thought?
That distancing would be where that verse says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man.
Yes.
He walketh about dry places seeking rest and finding none. And that spirit says, I'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. That distancing that he's talking about is more than just a distance, but I'm filling it with something else.
Yes.
Where there's no room. I like that word Jesus said, the prince of this world.
Yes.
Prince of this world, he was going to come and check Jesus to see if there was anything there. Prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me.
Amen.
That's going to be so important for him. Mm-hmm.
Yes, amen.
A little incident came to my mind that I'd forgotten about. Many years ago, there were unsigned letters that were sent sometimes to people.
Yes.
Get on to you, criticize you.
And they wouldn't sign their names.
No, I don't know if ever they would do, sent these letters around. But we got one in our mailbox one time. And it wasn't a very nice letter. And it, of course, how does it make you feel to get something like that?
Yes.
And I had a struggle with it. And I remember when the Lord told me, go burn that letter.
Yes.
Because just keeping it, you know, where I could go back to it and read it again, just keep it fresh and open. And, I mean, that's kind of a literal thing that's easier to do than when it's something that's in your mind.
Yes.
Rather than a letter. But I know sometimes the Lord will tell me, don't even let your mind go there. Start thinking about something else or singing a song. It's a battle, though. It's not always easy to do, but I know the Lord has grace.
Yes, He does. Thank the Lord. A person one time was extremely hurt and offended and was really struggling to get over it. And the Lord inspired them to take each instance and bury it, have a little funeral. Well, he didn't have necessarily a literal funeral, but in his mind. And these are ways that we distance ourselves from those things that would keep that hurt alive and affecting my spirit, influencing my spirit, influencing my victory or my soul. Anybody else?
There's a scripture I was thinking of back when we were in Galatians 2. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God.
Yes.
But the scripture was Matthew, Mark, some in Luke as well. But in Mark 3:29 it says, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And what we were saying about the Spirit coming back and finding it empty and occupying that space, you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. Keep the Holy Ghost out.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to protect you anymore.
Nothing.
If you did that, you're off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can. The scripture says in those places as well that we can speak against God. We can speak against Christ. Is it forgivable? It is. But not when it's the Holy Spirit. It is through that Spirit that you and I get grace, that He deals with our heart, that He reveals. But like you said, if we get rid of the Holy Spirit, what do we have? We're nothing. We have nothing. Okay. Anybody have a scripture now that can tell us about being dead? Let's do Colossians 2 and 20. Somebody can get Romans 6 and 11. If you'll speak up and claim a scripture, it might go a little bit faster.
Romans 6 and 11.
What?
Did you say Colossians 2?
Colossians 2:20.
Okay.
Colossians 3:3. Okay. And 2 Timothy 2 and 11. And if you all might have some others to contribute, that's all that I have.
2 Timothy 2 and 11.
Okay, 2 Timothy 2 and 11. Okay, let's do Colossians 2:20 first. I think Robert has it. Or...
Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?
Okay, we chose this scripture because it said, being dead from rudiments. What is the word? What does that mean? Rudiments. Dead to sin. If we be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world. I did not write down that definition, so if someone wants to look it up.
Mark. A basic principle or element or a fundamental skill.
fundamental skill?
Something unformed or undeveloped. It's usually used in the plural form.
Uh-huh.
And another definition is a body part that's so deficient in size and structure to be entirely unable to perform its normal functions.
So rudiments of the world how would that affect us? Rudiments of the world.
My margin says elements. Brother Danny Adams preached a message, I believe, at Monarch a few years ago about rudiments. That's all I had. I don't know if I can pull it up.
I really meant to have that word looked up myself. What?
Basic building blocks.
Basic building blocks. Okay, we could call it basic building blocks of the world. What is the world? What is in the world? What does the scripture say about the world? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But if any man love what? The world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this basic building blocks of the world, how can it affect us? It is the God of this world that is trying to influence my spirit. What can it do? Can it affect our convictions? I believe it can. I've read different books, true stories of old people of the past, and when they started out, they were so zealous and sincere. And I mean, I've noticed this in some of the books, and they've been I don't know what else to say other than those two words. They were zealous and they were sincere and they were just conscientious. And as I continued to read the books, by the end of the book I saw changes. Now, what would that have to do with what we're saying tonight? Can we change before we leave this world? What do we need to guard?
Our affections.
Our affections. Don't we need to guard our sacrifices?
Our first love.
Our first love. We can't leave our first love. I want to tell you, that's where Paul had to die daily, that he not change in his opinion, beliefs, his faith. There is one book that down through the years I have read it, and I would go a long time and forget, and I would start reading it again and come to that same place, and the manner of dress, the things that were allowed were different from when they first started out. You know what? We need to be very careful. We need to make sure that we're still on the same path. Because the enemy would like to influence our thinking and our convictions and the way that we see things. Has anybody ever been changed that we know of? Has anybody that you know of, have they changed in their beliefs and went another way? We know of people that have done that. Can it happen to us?
Robert and I were talking about that recently. We know somebody that lived like us.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, they changed. telling us that, person was telling us that they weren't afraid, they had a near-death experience. They were not afraid of death. They were like, they were okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Did they not have something before? So, you know, maybe they are okay? I don't know. I think the devil likes to use that kind of stuff too on us, but, or was there somewhere, you know, could we in our life let something slip and years later we think we're okay?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we aren't, because it was way back then where the Lord dealt with this and we just kept saying no. I don't know.
There is a scripture that has come to my mind, and what scripture comes to your mind with these kind of thoughts? If I build, again the things I once destroyed, what happens to me? I make myself a transgressor. It's in. Go ahead.
Shun every avenue of sin. And it may not be sin, but it could be the beginnings.
Yes.
Downward way. And I think that might have been what Brother Danny Adams and his message. I think it was the beginnings of departing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the very beginnings that maybe a lot of people would scoff at. You know, that's not, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
But, anyway.
You know, a warning flag for us when we see what Jude is talking about is there's a danger. It says, because they receive not the love of the truth.
Yes.
The truth about who I am,
mm-hmm.
and the changes that the Lord would want to make in me. I can come to a place that I don't love that anymore.
Yes.
That they might be saved. And then something happens. And this is a scary verse. For this cause, God shall send them strong delivery.
Yes.
The very source that used to deal with me and tell me who I was and changes I needed to make now will no longer do it. Instead, he's going to assist in me that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth.
Yes.
But have pleasure in unrighteousness. And you know what I see for that is a warning flag.
Yes.
Should I come to the place that I no longer receive a love for the truth of the Lord dealing with me,
mm-hmm.
who I am, it is possible for God to let me go, and I will be just as sure that I'm right then.
Yes.
And I believe the lie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is a standard of truth that we all have to meet. A standard of holiness. A standard of the Word. And yet, the way Dan has presented this, there's also some things that are truth about me, personally, that God deals with me that I don't put out for everybody else. But he knows me. And I know that the Lord has done that for me down through my life. Sometimes I may testify to it, but I don't preach on it because maybe it's not the thing that somebody else would fall with. But there is a standard of truth that we all have to meet. It's very good. Okay, what was the scripture? Was it Robert's scripture?
Romans
6 and 11 now.
Likewise, brethren, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Do you see how important it is that we have the right spirit in our heart? Because if we're, can we be, how shall I say it, a straddle the fence? Can I hold on to the world? And can I hold on to Christ?
You can try to.
You can try to. Does it work? It won't work to stand at the judgment in that condition, will it? Okay. What does the scripture say we will meet at the judgment? To be judged how? When we stand at the judgment, we're going to be judged for what?
Every idle thought, every idle word.
It says we're going to be judged for the deeds done in the body, which includes evil thoughts or any kind of thoughts. But we're all going to be judged for the deeds done in our living body. And that's what... And God is a fair and righteous judge, and we brought that out this morning. Anyone else? We're dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Okay, what was the next one? Colossians 3 and 3?
We'll read the second verse.
Okay.
Set your affection on things above.
Yes.
Not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Is that 3 and 3?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. You went to another verse with that. That's good. Want to read it one more time?
3 and 3 is, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
But the one in front of it that you read?
Maybe it's good to start at the first time.
Okay.
If you then be risen with Christ,
yes.
Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yes.
When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So you're dead, but now Christ is your life.
Yes, thank the Lord. Has anybody ever found a hiding place in the Lord? You know, the scripture tells us what those that are lost will be doing at the last day. They'll be crying to hide from his face. They will be calling for the rocks and the mountains to hide them. We need to be hid right now, don't we? We have a time of finding a safe place, a safe hiding place in him. Thank the Lord. Okay, our last one was 2 Timothy 2 and 11.
It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him.
It's a faithful thing. So there's something that needs to be dead, but there's something that still needs to be alive. Any comments? I have a scripture here, and I didn't look it up, but I can give you part of it, and maybe someone can look it up. There's a scripture that speaks about our sins going before and not following after. And in closing, I would like for us to maybe have a little few comments on that. 1 Timothy 5 and what?
24.
You want to read it?
Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men may follow after.
Isn't that a serious verse? Some men's sins go before, they're open. What are those sins? What could you call those sins? Those sins that everybody could see. And sometimes the Lord opens up sins that nobody can see, just to you.
Well, verse 25 says, likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand.
Yes.
They that are otherwise cannot be hid.
Yeah, that's good. I see it as... receiving the spirit of conviction whether open or hidden sin, and repenting and rolling those sins before me, out before me. And they're covered with his blood and remembered no more. But if I'm not honest, if I'm not willing to face my life, my sins, and I try to hide some sin in my life, I try to pet or keep alive some of those sins by feeding them, and nobody else sees it. But God sees it. What? It'll find you out somewhere, won't it? I would rather it be found out here so that we can take care of those things before we get there. So Paul's little nugget here is, I die daily.